It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire! Score!
Blessed to Play comes to you from the great state of Alaska. It's home of the last great race, that is the Iditarod. And we're going to talk about a man who is an Iditarod musher. His name is Mark May. He was actually, in 1998, the Rookie of the Year, and he finished 20th in the Iditarod and competes in a number of sled dog races. And Mark has been going at this a long time. He's a veterinarian also, so he has great respect and love for animals and gets these dogs to really perform at a high level. Mark, it's so good to have you on Blessed to Play.
Thank you. I'm overwhelmed. I have an opportunity to speak to you, Ron. I listen to EWTN all the time, and I've listened to this program, and I can't believe you're interviewing me.
Well, I am interviewing you. It's been great. And Mark actually took me out for a sled dog run, an experience of the lifetime, just to see him with the dogs that he's trained and the dogs themselves perform, the strength, the continuity, and the beautiful surroundings of the rugged outdoors of Alaska. Well, Mark, how do you get started in sled dog racing?
I came up here in 1973 as a junior in high school to visit my father. He had come up after my parents separated, and so I spent that short summer break between junior and senior year with him in a little town or community called Trapper Creek, halfway between Anchorage and Fairbanks. I went on my first sled dog ride with a single dog on a bicycle that summer and fell in love.
Well, let's talk about the Iditarod. Like I said in the opening, it's the last great race on Earth. It's been coined. Race covering 1,000 miles, even plus, going through jagged mountain ranges, frozen rivers. It really captures the spirit of Alaska, and it pits man and animal against nature. Talk about the intensity of this race and the grueling nature of it. I mean, it really, it, 1,000 miles, I don't think it's a week-long race. It really tests everything that you have as an endurance athlete.
Dogs are part of the Alaskan tradition. Most everybody has heard about the Serum Run to Nome, and the Iditarod was born out of that tradition. The father of the Iditarod, Joe Reddington, kind of lamented the fact that dogs were being replaced like snow machines and dreamed up this idea. And Joe took it and ran with it, and a bunch of people fell in with him. And when I came up in the 70s, the Iditarod was just being born, and I got to participate in it through working with my father's kennel as it developed into a real thing.
You're a veterinarian, so obviously you take care of animals and their health, and you diagnose and you give medicine. But these animals are treated very well, and your primary interest is their care. But they're athletes, basically, and they're trained as such.
We train them just like a marathoner. We feed them as a marathoner, and we dress them and medicate and vaccinate them so that they enjoy the highest standard of health and wellness that you can imagine.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. I'm chatting today with Mark May. He competed in the Iditarod. In fact, was Rookie of the Year in 1998. Now, Mark, like any good team, a coach is going to put the best players out there. You have to really gauge the mental and emotional attributes of these dogs and how they're going to perform in a race. Is that difficult to do?
It's something you're born with, I think, but you can develop it through coaching and experience. But the best sled dog racers really have this natural instinct and can get inside the heads of those dogs. They're also better at taking care of them and bonding with them.
What is your training and racing philosophy here at the kennel?
Well, we were fortunate when we got going in the 70s. We fell in with sled dogs that had been racing from the earliest races in Alaska. So we inherited the genetics of the racing sled dogs. We try to be as sharp as we can with respect to training and nutrition. And so we just do what the best do. We work with other people to figure out what's best. And we just try to do what works.
Did you have a mentor as you entered into sled dog racing? Anybody that inspired you to be the best that you can be?
There have certainly been great figures in this sport. You know, we have worked to make this a professional sport, and there have been a couple of notables. George Atla, an Athabascan from Hooslea, is certainly a famous racer. Roland Doc Lombard from Wayland, Massachusetts, was also one of our biggest heroes. And then there have certainly been other champions along the way. We have forums and get-togethers once a year where we talk and lecture and share. So there's a wide network where you can learn to be better at this.
When you get an animal to perform at their optimal level, what are the ingredients that go into that? They all have talent, such as someone would have basketball talent, football talent, but how do you get your animals, these dogs, to perform at their optimal level?
It starts when they're born, and you work at socializing these dogs. The best dogs are dogs that are born in your kennel. You bring them in your house. You expose them to people. You make sure they're vaccinated and dewormed, and you baby them as they come up through their adolescence. As a yearling, you take them to their first races, and as they mature into 2.5, 3, and 4-year-old dog, you begin to assess their natural talents, and you place them in your team where they're most suited. And by the time they're 4 or 5, they are in their prime, and you're ready to roll.
But once again, I'm here with Mark May, has competed in the Iditarod in a number of races, sled dog races, including the Yukon Quest. Iditarod has been termed the last great race on Earth through the rugged terrain of Alaska. I'm sure, Mark, you've seen some beautiful scenery as a racer.
You can't imagine. We race night and day, so some of the things we've seen have been at night. Some of the things we've seen didn't really exist. This is a sport where we work on sleep deprivation. And so some of the most notable stories from the Iditarod and the Yukon Quest were vivid hallucinations that people had in the middle of nowhere when there's no one around. One of my most remarkable experiences was in the Yukon Quest near the end of a race, and I was in fourth place trailing a guy who did not want to be beat, and he pushed himself to exhaustion, actually left his dogs on the trail, in the middle of a vivid hallucination, walked into a hotel that didn't exist, and when I came up on him, he was getting hypothermic. I took him out of the snowbank, and you can read that in the newspaper article at length, but a lot of the stuff we've seen out there wasn't real.
Well, when I was out there today in minus 19 and my tips of my fingers were starting to freeze, I think I was having some hallucinations too, that I was going to get into a warm house real quick. Bust to play, Ron Meyer once again chatting with Mark May, Iditarod racer. Mark, you're not in this for the money. In fact, I think you spend thousands of dollars just to compete. So this is really for the love of the game or the love of the race.
Dogs are very important for my mental health. I won't go to great length, but in our veterinary profession, we speak openly about the human-animal bond, and they are good for your soul. It is very expensive. We could go all day about the expense of maintaining a single sled dog. At this point in my life, I'm a veterinarian, and so they're kind of a business expense. Liz says, when I retire and quit practicing veterinary medicine, the sled dogs have got to go.
We'll see about that, right? You know, when we were doing this run, you get these, you're not a yeller, but you give these commands in a very soft-spoken language, and these dogs respond to it, whether they're making a left or a right on the trail, picking up speed or not. You really form a bond and a communication bond with these animals, don't you?
Right. I've been the primary caregiver for some of these dogs for 10 years, and we have people spell me once in a while and do chores in the dog lot. And they're social creatures. They love to see strangers, but They know who butters their bread. So we do have a special bond, and they learn to listen to me and anticipate my moves, and they are naturally selected to want to please their human. And so it's very easy to communicate with them. We don't yell at our children, and we don't yell at our dogs. It's just not necessary.
Where do you see the future of this sport? With the sensitivity and the political climate out there with certain animal rights groups for animal welfare, so to speak, how do you see Iditarod racing, or just racing, sled racing in general? What's the future of it?
Well, it's difficult to say how humanity is going to evolve. You know, we could wind up like the Indians electing to go totally against utilizing animals for anything except sacred objects. I, however, don't think that's going to happen. These dogs are athletes. We do these ultra events with them. I don't think it's inhumane. I think it's part of our destiny to evolve together. And so I don't think we will ever achieve the level of, say, golf or tennis. People have talked about it and tried. And when you push so hard to achieve that financial reward, you sacrifice the human-animal bond. And so the most of us would put our priority on the human-animal bond, and so we won't make those sacrifices.
Tell me about one or two of your most memorable experiences.
Well, certainly could go on for days. Some of my best experiences were non-racing. After I came back to Alaska, completed my military service, my veterinary service, I traveled for a time before I started racing. And part of the sled dog mystique is just getting out in the country and meeting the people. And in this country, the Athabascans and the Inuit and the Nupiats are the local native cultures. And so I was always fascinated in seeing their culture and visiting their homes. And so some of my most memorable evenings and events were in homes, in villages, visiting with those people and living the life they did.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, Blessed to Play returns from the great state of Alaska. I'm talking with Mark May, Iditarod competitor. We'll talk to Mark about what inspires him in his everyday life. Don't move. You're listening to Blessed to Play.
Have you heard of Amazon Echo? It's a virtual personal assistant that allows you to use just your voice. You can listen to EWTN Radio just by saying, "Alexa, play EWTN Radio." Check out the Amazon Echo today.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Mark May, Iditarod competitor, sled dog racing, musher. And we talked in the first half of the program about his career, and we're conducting this interview from his home state of Alaska. And Mark, the one thing I notice about being in Alaska for the first time and being out there is the beauty of it. Certainly cold, but the beauty, and you really see creation at its best. And I know faith has an important part of your life. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I was very fortunate. Even though I got off to a kind of a shaky start in life, when I met my wife, her father kind of took us under his wing. He was a Lithuanian that came to this country at the last moment by an act of grace. Two of his siblings wound up in the concentration camps. And so he was a great Catholic. He was a kind and gentle man. At the time, neither of us were very faithful Catholics, although we'd been baptized. And he was there every step of the way. We did nominal counseling when we got married and really still were not active in our faith. But as that gentleman guided us along, he helped our kids go to Catholic schools. He talked us into going back to Lithuania with him. And at the time, I couldn't understand why anybody would want to go to Lithuania. However, I fell in with a Marian priest that was part of the congregation promoting the Divine Mercy. Well, wouldn't you know, I went to Vilnius because of Liz's dad, Hubert Judd Wallace. I actually got to see the initial image of the Divine Mercy, and it really changed my life and set me on a firmer foundation in the Catholic faith.
So we talk about, you have this foundation of faith, and then we bring this into our everyday life. And certainly as an athlete, you have to deal with adversity. And I know as a racer, you had to even bow out of the Iditarod because there was a kennel cough that went around to all your dogs. And there's a disappointment in that. So how does your faith enable you to keep perspective amidst the disappointments of life?
Well, at this point in the interview, I can talk openly about my faith, and I quote Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So, you know, I have accepted the crucifixion so that I can get to the resurrection. And having children, being in a private veterinary practice, I have accepted this is not all about me. I try to take the daily challenges that come along and try to make lemonade out of lemons. It is difficult, but that is the philosophy that I try to live by. If you had a video shot of my trophy room, you'll see a Lithuanian crucifix over there. And of all the trophies we can collect in our life, the crucifix is the one that should be front and center.
So, you know, we talk about faith. Those is really, when you think about it, it's believing in those things that you really cannot see and what's ahead of you. And as an athlete, sometimes you don't know how a race is going to work out for you. You're putting in your best, but you don't even know if you're going to get to the finish line. God willing, you will. But in life also, that has the same type of, it works out that way as well. When you see these dogs, do you see them as God's creation? Do you marvel at the what has been created and how they're performing for you?
Certainly, all of that and more. When we are on our A game and we get to a race and we get to participate and things are going good, I just cannot believe the things these dogs are capable of doing, and they regenerate and recover, and so certainly just can't imagine in your mind. Today, they run the Iditarod in 8 days. The first Iditarods took 20 days. My father won the race in 1980 in 14 days and took 2 days off the record. When I ran it in 10 days, and I was in 20th place. So we have not yet plumbed the depths of what we can do as humans, they can do as dogs, and it's incredible to talk about it, think about it, and try it, and then to see it happen.
Plus to play Ron Meyer chatting today with Mark May. Once again, he's an Iditarod competitor, has competed in the Iditarod, and was, in fact, Rookie of the Year in 1998, finishing in 20th place. Mark, do you ever pray for a victory?
Oh, we have little victories all the time. And so this really is not about the money or beating somebody or being dominating. It's about being part of community. The thing that really, really keeps me involved in this sport is meeting people from around the world. We have not just a local or a national community anymore, but we got participants from Norway and Puerto Rico, and I see them on the race trail, but as a veterinarian, I see them in my clinic. And certainly it's easier to visit with them inside when it's not 20 below and the wind is blowing. So I'm excited to be part of this. I love it when I get to race. But at this time in my life, I've got so much other responsibility in the community that if I can't finish a race or can't participate in a race I signed up, it's not a big deal anymore. I have established a legacy, and my big priority now is not to erode what I've done in the past by doing something stupid like racing somebody.
I'm going to ask you to put your veterinarian hat on now, and medical doctors sometimes are forced in a situation where they're dealing with the death of a patient who their loved one's around, and they have to console them and talk to them about death and dying and be there with them in that moment. And you as well, I mean, obviously an animal means a lot to a lot of families, and they have to deal with their death. Sometimes they have to put down that animal. So you're in a position where you get to talk to people when they're in a grieving stage as well, and I'm sure your faith comes out in that type of environment too.
Everybody has heard the term unconditional love, and many people relate better to their dog. Some people don't relate to other humans, but their dog is their consolation. So when an owner loses a dog or a cat like that, it can be all they have in the world. And there are terrible stories about what happens after the death of a spouse, for instance. Well, the same thing happens after someone loses their beloved pet. There are national and international support resources that we can put those grieving clients in touch with so that they don't feel that void after they lose their beloved pet.
Well, let's talk about your family. You're a parent to three children, you and your wife, and talk about, you know, your family here, and I know Faith is being in your house. I know Faith plays an important part in your house, but talk about your family a little bit.
Well, we have been fortunate to have three children. We spaced them 3 years apart, and so we've got a range of children now. They have moved away to college, but they're in various differing stages coming back. None of them especially want to be veterinarian or sled dog racer, but they love animals. So we've got one in Wyoming. We've got the youngest one back here, and the middle one will probably be going out for a nutrition degree soon.
So no one wanted to follow in your footsteps, and that's difficult. I mean, being out there in the cold weather, and I think you go out, you told me, like three times a week on these 18-mile jaunts, but it takes some time to get the dogs ready, preparation. There's a lot of toil involved with that, isn't there?
Well, and being of a different generation and younger, you know, they get their dopamine or their juice from other activities. So we certainly never forced mushing on them, and they saw what I had to do for a living as young children, because as my wife worked and I had to take emergency call, the children went in the backpack and the baby carrier and accompanied me on the way. And certainly some of our veterinary cases and some of our veterinary patients, a little bit scary.
Talking once again with Mark May, Iditarod competitor. And Mark, tell us, do you have any favorite dogs over the years that come to mind? Maybe they're exceptional racers or just that you bonded with in a special way?
I have a gallery of sled dog portraits in my veterinary practice that have been produced over the years by client artists that got to know me. And so I have a gallery of lead dog portraits, and certainly could go on for days talking about my favorite dogs. I guess I'll talk a little bit about a big cruiser named Otis. When I came back from the Navy, my father was getting out of dogs. He had sold his dogs. I bought back one that had been a big wheel dog. This dog was big and always went back by the sled. When I started traveling across Alaska, Otis became my lead dog, and in the vernacular of sled dog mushers, he drove like a truck. And so I drove that dog all over Alaska, and he loved to pull stunts in front of crowds. And so we could drive under boat trailers and around propane tanks, and he was a real showboat. So Otis was the father, grandfather, great-grandfather, most of these dogs that Ron and I ran around today. And he's been gone for 20 years, but he still lives in my memory.
Yeah, Otis sounds like a great canine, but I want to talk about another part of this current team, and his name is Judas. Is he a rebel with or without a cause?
Well, I was fortunate in the year 2000. Bishop Mike brought together all of the Catholics that had never finished their sacraments. And so I was confirmed in the year 2000. Shortly after I was confirmed, I fell in with the charismatic renewal and was born to a life in the Spirit. And so all of my dogs now are named Joan of Arc, Therese of Lisieux, Benedict. But I had to name a litter after the Bible bad guys. So I have got Judas, Barabbas, and Pilate out of one litter in the team that Ron and I drove today.
Yeah, he has some bad boys part of this team, but I can tell you what, they're great dogs for racing. Well, Mark May has been my guest. What an interesting guy, has raced in the Iditarod, a number of sled dog races. And Mark, thanks so much, not only for doing the interview, but giving me an experience of a lifetime, taking out your sled dog team with me today. It was truly remarkable. I thank you, and thank you for being a guest right here on Blessed to Play.
Thank you for the opportunity. I can't believe I got this chance to share, and I do hope your fingers thaw out someday, Ron.
I hope so, too. Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You could like us on Facebook, and you could follow the show right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Mark May, I'm Ron Meyer, asking you to compete well for the faith in your everyday life.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.